everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We're really excited today. We have another one of our Hallmark writers with us for this interview. We love talking to the writers, both the screenplays and the novelists. And we are talking with Lizzie Shane today. She is the author of A Royal Christmas Wish for Hallmark Publishing. And Lizzie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm really happy to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. So people that might not be as familiar with you, why don't you take a chance to introduce yourself to our audience?
Hi, I'm Lizzie Shane. I write contemporary romance novels. I also write paranormal romance under a different pen name, but I'm mostly focused on the contemporary. And I'm from Alaska, born and raised, but I travel all over the country. So I'm popping all over the place, except for obviously not right now.
Yeah. So you're from Alaska. You said born and raised. So has this quarantine period, has it been kind of like old hat, normal Alaska? You're used to being kind of inside a lot, or no, it's been hard?
I think in some ways, it's been easier for us just because there's more space up here. We're not packed in like in cities. You know, I think it's a lot harder to get social distance when you're in a really big city, and we have a lot more space up here. So that is, that is easier. We have different concerns when it comes to quarantine. Like we were a little worried about supply chain. All of our food comes up on barges, you know?
Yeah. Getting your canned goods.
Exactly. So we're like, well, how much longer is it going to take to get like, you know, to get things up here? And it you know, it's affected shipping times and stuff like that, but we've been doing pretty okay and managing to stay pretty isolated, but it's a pretty good place
good.
To be.
Yeah. You're stocking up on like your canned peaches and stuff like that.
Yeah. We've turned our dining room into what we call the second pantry, and we just have like all sorts of stuff in there. So
yeah,
it works out.
Yeah, that's I've done quite a bit of that myself. I've got a whole bunch of canned apricots because they were on sale.
Nice.
So I've been looking up recipes of things to make with canned apricots. Yeah, and I made a cobbler that was pretty decent.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that was exciting.
Yeah, we're getting creative with recipes and things. And we're like, okay, so we have a large quantity of, you know, this one item today. Let's see what we can use it for. We're definitely getting creative. So it's nice.
You do. You can learn to appreciate the simple things.
Yes. Yeah.
Things have been opening up a little bit around here, probably more progressively than some other states here in Utah. But it was hard, man. I mean, because my parents, people were worried that I had the virus for a while, even though I got tested a bunch. Mm-hmm. So I was very isolated for the first 2 months. And I didn't even get to see my parents at Easter, and they live like 10 minutes away. And that was so hard.
Yeah.
I hated that. It's, you don't want to get people sick. I understand.
Yeah.
And I'm still trying not to go out very much, but I have done a few little things. It's been crazy.
Yeah.
But there have been its blessings. Like over on my other channel, I've been doing this Sunday devotionals with my friend who's not even of my faith. We're of different faiths, but we've been doing it every week. And because we both lost, church was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been doing that. And that's been such a great experience. So you have the blessings that come even in a hard experience. So
I think there's always those silver linings.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you end up becoming a writer up there, like in Alaska and everything? Like how did that all develop?
I was always really interested in stories. I was always a hobby of mine. I was the little kid who was probably like creating elaborate character sketches for my Playmobil toys. So like I was very much in that mindset from the beginning. Writing is a hobby. I guess the catalyst for it for me, I had written a couple of books, but I'd never really tried to submit them or sent them anywhere or done anything like that. And, oddly enough, when my brother passed away, it made me kind of, think about what kind of things I wanted to be writing and what I wanted to be doing with my life and putting into the world. And I kind of decided at that point that, you know, what's a better goal in life than to put more love into the world? Like, there's enough, you know, hardship and sadness and things like that. So if you can be doing something positive and really putting love into the world sounded like a good idea. So that was when I started really pursuing romance writing romance novels. And I started submitting at that point and ended up, I initially started writing for a small digital publisher that is no longer in existence, but but I wrote for a digital press for back when they were first starting out for about 5 or 6 years under the pen name Vivi Andrews, writing paranormal romance. And then contemporary was really kind of where my heart was. And so I jumped over and started doing contemporary, and I did some independent publishing for a little while. And then a couple of the books that I had self-published were nominated for the Romance Writers of America. They have an award called the RITA, which was sort of their big award. And a couple of my books got nominated for that. And so I got a little bit more attention for the contemporaries at that time. And I got my agent and then started writing for Hallmark and now also for Grand Central Forever. So I'm
That's amazing.
Now. Yeah.
Congratulations. Wow.
Thank you.
Were you a kid that was always had your face in a book? Were you a big reader?
I became a big reader. I didn't read a ton when I was little, but when I was like, 12 years old, insomnia runs in my family. And mm-hmm. I started having really bad insomnia when I was like 11 and 12. And I started reading in the middle of the night and just got absolutely hooked on it and became like, from that point on, I was constantly like with a book, like shoved underneath my pillow. Usually like that was just where I kept them. But, yeah, because I was going to read at night. Yeah. So I always had the book right there.
Yeah. Did you have favorites favorites franchises series?
I was really, really into fantasy when I was first starting, when I was first getting into reading. And so like Anne McCaffrey, Mercedes Lackey, a lot of those. I loved Valdemar from Mercedes Lackey. That was probably one of my first.
Which favorite. One is it?
Valdemar was the name of the wormhole. I think the first book was called Arrows of the Queen. The first one I read. I'm not sure if that was actually the first one she wrote. But yeah, I was really into fantasy. And then I started getting into romance a little bit later on and got hooked on Jennifer Crusie and some of those authors. So. Lots of great.
Cool. I haven't heard of those. I was the opposite. I was not into fantasy as a kid. Yeah. About as fantastical as I got would be something like Roald Dahl. I liked Roald Dahl.
Oh, I loved Roald Dahl. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
my God. It's funny because I go back and read those books as an adult and it's such a different experience reading Roald Dahl because like the books are pretty violent.
They really are.
And also one thing I noticed about Roald Dahl is that almost all the women in his books are hideous, like the worst. And there's a few exceptions. There's Miss Honey and there's a few, but like, I mean, the ants in James the Giant Peach and the Trunchbull and,
oh my gosh,
I mean, there's a pretty long list of just these, horrible women. I'm just like, what, were the nuns awful to you growing up or what?
Like, I had never thought about it. You're absolutely right though.
Yeah. The witches, they're all, you know, evil women and it's interesting. I mean, of course you don't notice that when you're little, because the thing that's great about his books that make them so appealing to little kids is that the kids are always the smartest people in the room at all times.
The kids are absolutely the stars of those books.
Yeah. So that's why you like them. But I was never that into fantasy. I always preferred things. And even to this day, I still prefer things that have like a little bit of grounding to them. Mm-hmm. My first like big book that I ever read when I was little was Little Women. I was proud. Like, oh, I read this book, you know, I was really excited. And of course, devastated by Beth and just loved it.
Sobbing, absolutely.
Yeah. And then I remember, I mean, I was kind of a late reader. Mm-hmm. I didn't start until probably, I don't think I was really reading it at all until first grade. And then not mm-hmm. really is any kind of reading until more like third grade. And but I really liked Little Women. I really loved Anne of Green Gables.
Oh yeah.
Was a favorite. And then I remember in the sort of middle school years, I really loved The Babysitter's Club.
Oh yeah. I was so excited. I saw they're making like a TV show about The Babysitter's Club on, I think it might be Netflix, but I was just like, oh, my childhood.
Well, by the time this airs, it'll have already come out, but I've seen it.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, cause I got a preview.
Oh,
it's really good. It's great. It's great. Yeah. It's really, really good. And I think people are going to really love it.
Nice.
And yeah. And has a lot of Hallmark actors. It must have been filmed in, must have been filmed in Vancouver.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Or in and around there, but yeah, I really enjoyed it, and I loved those books. And it's weird because when I think back on to my high school years, I mean, I was very, very busy, but I don't even remember like YA being a thing.
Yeah,
like so I'm not that old. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, but I don't even remember YA being a thing. And what I remember reading in high school was I got on a John Grisham.
Oh yeah.
In high school. And I read all these legal novels. I read like The Client and The Firm and The Pelican Brief and, you know, all of those books. And so that's the only, and then, you know, you read what you have to read for school. Yeah.
I actually got on a weird Michael Crichton kick because we had to read Jurassic Park in school. And so I was right.
Usually reading a book in school ruins it, which is sad.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Because, you know, you're forced to analyze it. And in some ways that's healthy, but you're forced to analyze it in a way that you might not naturally be your taste. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so then that kind of can sort of spoil the book for you.
I feel like even you're forced to read, it's not the same experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's how you tell To Kill a Mockingbird is a great book, because almost everybody loves it and almost everybody read it in school.
Yeah.
Yep. And I also read Watership Down in school, and I love that book.
Yes.
Absolutely. I just love Hazel so much. Oh,
that's a good one.
I think that book has so many layers to enjoy. Mm-hmm. That you can understand it on a socio-political level. You can understand it on a fantasy level. You can understand it on a personal level, family level, adventure level. Mm-hmm. There's so much going on that I really do love that one. And I also love The Chosen by Chaim Potok.
I haven't read that one. That's a really
good one. Another one that every decade of my life that I've read it, I understand it differently.
Yeah. And I love those books that when you come back to them, they feel new.
Yeah. It's about these two Jewish boys. One is from a very Orthodox background and one is from a more relaxed background in the, and I think it's in the, the 50s, I think. I think it's post-war. I'm trying to remember. It's been a couple years. But anyway, and their dads are very different. And it's about how these two boys growing up in these very different environments, their friendship. And when I was a teenager, I thought that the Orthodox rabbi character and some of the methods that he was like a monster. I hated him. But then the older I got, the more I kind of understood him a little bit more.
Yeah.
I didn't excuse him, but I understood him. And it's just, it's a great book. I highly recommend it.
I'll have to check that one out. Thank you.
Yeah. It's really, really, it's a great book club book. That's why I keep end up reading it over and over again. Because there's so many points to kind of discuss in a book club. But yeah, I really, that one's a really good one. But yeah, it's, it took me a while to kind of feel like I was a reader, you know, like I would read. And my mom was great about reading to me at night, almost every night. My mom or my dad sometimes too, but he would fall asleep. And I'm like you, I've been an insomniac my entire life. And I remember just like as a kid, just staring up at the wall. And my mom came in one day and she says, why are you awake? You know, why are you awake? And I said to her, I said, go away. I'm thinking.
Okay, that's a great thing. If you have insomnia, you have plenty of time to think. You can like just roll things over in your head. Like it's a great time to work out story problems. Like it works great.
So would you say you're a pantser or a plotter when you write?
I think I'm probably definitely somewhere in between. I always have like a roadmap or like I have an outline or something that I'm working from, but I want to kind of, you know, you find new things and you discover new things along the way. I do plan. I'm not a complete pantser, but I like to kind of, there's always something in my outline that doesn't quite work. Once I get there, I'm like, okay, we're changing this now.
I mean, that's what we had a podcast a couple weeks ago about how to have a good date, be on a good date. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we said is have a plan, but don't be too rigid about it.
Yeah, exactly. That's
like you want somebody who's not just like making things up on the fly because that's lame. You want someone some effort, but you don't want somebody who's so rigid that the whole thing's miserable if the plans don't go as planned.
Yeah.
So that sounds like
a plan, but leave room for spontaneity. I like that.
Right. Yeah. So you got it.
Yeah. that sounds perfect.
Do you write do you have a word goal that you do every day?
I do actually. When I'm writing a first draft, I tend to try and do, I try to do about 2,000 words a day. And work like 6 days a week, when I'm doing a first draft, I'm also a big believer in like rewarding yourself when you hit your goals, but also not beating yourself up when you don't. And I just have kind of like, okay, if I didn't make it today, I'll do a little extra tomorrow and I'll make it up kind of thing. So I'm always trying to, again, not being too rigid with myself. Yeah. I'm always trying to hit those goals, but not be too hard on myself if life intervenes.
Yeah. So what do you think makes for like a great romance? Something really memorable.
Oh, wow. I think, you know, you have to have those great characters that just, that seem to shine through and that you remember and that you feel like you know them. You know, I love that. And I feel like, you know, those moments that just, you can see them, you know what I mean? Like the moments that kind of stand out in your head. I think, you know, a great romance, it's about connection and, like that verbal chemistry. I love any kind of banter. I'm a big fan of that. So, you know, anything like that just makes it that much more compelling to me. And I want to feel these people clicking and just kind of fall in love with them. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah. Do you have a particular type of romance that you like, as opposed to like, for instance, like enemies to lovers trope, or like, the BFFs who, are really secretly in love, or, you know, like a particular kind of the different styles, tropes that you like, or just depend?
I'm a sucker for a lot of them. I think the one that gets me every time is the fake relationship. Like I cannot resist the fake relationship. Like I'm just like, oh, yep. There's a writer I love, Jennifer Lynn Barnes, and she's also a psychologist, and she came up with this, or I don't know if she came up with it, but she was talking about a concept called the id list, the things that like trigger your id and like that you just can't resist on like as a reader. And fake relationships is definitely on my id list. It's just like, I can't get rid of it. Yeah. I love it.
It's really, really good. I love it. I think the enemies to lovers can be really good.
It really can. Yeah.
But I think you have to be really careful to make your characters likable enough.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing that people don't understand about Pride and Prejudice, because so many books are trying to be Pride and Prejudice. Yeah. Yeah. But what they don't understand is that, yes, Lizzie and Darcy hated each other at the beginning.
Yeah.
But everybody else in their lives loved them.
Yeah.
They were beloved by everybody else. So we know that they're good people and we like them and we're rooting for them. We want them. They just don't understand each other. And so, and that's the dynamic that they get wrong so often, especially in movies, you know, that they have these characters that hate each other and are horrible, and you don't care. You don't want them to get together. You don't like them. You don't buy it when they do get together because they've been so miserable.
Yeah, I mean, that is the starting point. You've got to start with those characters that you love. And when you love them, of course you want them to love each other.
Right.
But like, you have to love them. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I think that's, and then I think that I've said for a long time that I feel like all modern romances or almost all of them are trying to be Pride and Prejudice or Taming of the Shrew.
Yeah.
And you know, like you have some kind of bet or wager or article or, you know, some kind of thing that's putting these two unlikely characters together, and that's Taming of the Shrew, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, the Pride and Prejudice is the enemies to lovers idea.
I love
and,
that.
It's hard to, I think the Taming of the Shrew type stories are, I think, a harder to pull off, but they're great when you do get a How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days is an example, or like
10 Things I Hate About You. I love 10 Things I Hate About You.
I mean, that's a very clear example. Yeah. That's a direct example.
That's a direct rip-off, but I love it.
yeah, but like she's the man, or mean, I guess that's technically She's the Man is 12th Night, I think.
It is.
Yeah.
It's all Shakespeare and Austin.
Yeah, Shakespeare and Austin. Which is probably true for most stories. Yeah. They start with Shakespeare and Austin or the Bible.
There you go. You got it covered when you've got those.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. They're the good folks over at HelloFresh. And HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. One of the things I love about HelloFresh is that it is really, really great for single dining like I do and single cooking, because a lot of times when you make a recipe, you'll end up with a whole bottle of some sauce or spice that you are not going to use again for a long time. And so with HelloFresh, you only get just what you need for that one recipe. And so it allows you to kind of try out new things, try out new flavors. And it's also great for families too, to save time, to save trips to the store, which, you know, are all the more stressful these days. And it's great. They can provide contactless delivery to your doorstep for easy home cooking with the family. They cut out stressful meal planning, grocery store trips, so you can enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in just about 30 minutes or even 20 minutes with their quick recipe options. HelloFresh can also help you eat more sustainably. Their pre-portioned ingredients mean there's less prep for you and less food waste. The packaging HelloFresh uses to ship your food is almost entirely made from recyclable and or already recycled content. HelloFresh's carbon footprint is 25% lower than store-bought grocery-made meals. It's just a winner all the way around. It fits your lifestyle better. You can add extra proteins. You can add desserts. You can add garlic bread every week. It's really, really wonderful. They also donated over 2.5 million meals to charity in 2019, and this year stepping up their food donation amid the coronavirus crisis. And right now, if you go to HelloFresh.com/80Hallmarkies and use code 80Hallmarkies to get a total of $80 off, including free shipping on your first box. The additional restrictions apply. Please visit HelloFresh.com for more details. That's an incredible deal. It's at HelloFresh.com/80Hallmarkies. Use code 80Hallmarkies to get $80 off, including free shipping on your first box. Additional restrictions apply. Please visit HelloFresh.com for more details. And so we'll have all the information in the description section. Please check it out. I know you'll love it. So it's interesting. So you have a reality romance series mm-hmm. in your books. Do you love reality TV? Is that how that started? Or
I'm weirdly fascinated by reality television. I started the reality romance series is sort of a it's a bachelor style show. Uh-huh. The name of the show in the book is Marrying Mr. Perfect, but it's very much sort of a bachelor style. There was a period of time when there were so many of those. There was like Flavor of Love, and I can't even.
Oh yeah, that there. Like the yeah. trashy ones.
Yeah, exactly. There was just like this laundry list, but then they all kind of sprang from The Bachelor, and right. I was not a reality television watcher from the beginning. I actually tripped across a blog that was doing recaps of them. And I thought the way she was recapping them was hysterical. So I started watching the show so I would know what she was talking about. And I got hooked on The Bachelor that way. And I just find it so fascinating seeing also like how the producers manipulate the situations and kind of try and create the drama and all of that. And so but also, you know, these people they're in it for love. They're there for the right reasons, you know, and all that. So
right.
I like the idea of doing that as a kickoff for a book series. And the first book is a guy goes on one of those style shows, but discovers that the person he's really in love with is the girl he left back home, his best friend. So,
oh, cute.
You know, a little bit of that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's classic Hallmark.
Yeah.
going back to the small town.
Yeah.
I actually read one of them. I read Courting Trouble.
Oh, fun. Thanks.
Yeah. It was cute. I enjoyed it. It's a little more PG-13 than Hallmark, but
yeah.
Still fun.
Those books have a little bit, they're not super not too rainy, bad. But they do definitely, they have a little more language. They have a little more, you know,
yeah. But I enjoyed it.
Level. Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad.
It was fun. and so your Hallmark book is A Royal Christmas Wish. And yeah. I have to be honest, when I started it, I was like, ugh. Just because we have had so many princess movies, mm-hmm. especially in 2018, we had, mm-hmm. you know, with the royal wedding and everything, we had so many. And I think we had 6 that year. Oh, just wow. from Hallmark. and I love a good Cinderella story, but you know, I don't know, even I can only take so many of these princess sure, movies.
Yeah.
And so I was a little bit skeptical when I started it, but I ended up really enjoying it. And I think that there's a couple things, there's like, it's a great experience when you read a truly original novel. That's an incredible experience. Like The Book Thief for me was that way by Marcus Essex. Oh, that book yes. blew my mind.
That's an amazing book. Yes.
I absolutely love it. And it's so original in every way.
Yeah.
And, but there's another experience is when somebody, I think, takes a formula and then does something original with that formula. And that's what I thought that you did here is you took the formula of the princess movie mm-hmm. and you tried to do something original with it. And I really appreciated that. I mean, it was very creative and fun. And I thought you did a great job. I was very impressed.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I loved the Christmas movies. I used to, my grandma passed away last year, but I used to watch all of the Hallmark movies with her at Christmas time. And she was such a sucker for the royal ones. Like the royal ones were her favorite. She could not get enough of them.
Yeah.
And so I was definitely well-versed in the Hallmark royal movies. And so just something that kind of puts a new spin on it or can kind of play into the tropes, but also feel like it's something a little bit fresh was what I was hoping to do. So thank you. I'm really excited about that.
You succeeded. So did you have this idea and then go to Hallmark, or did Hallmark come to you and say, we want this book written?
I actually came to them. It was sort of an interesting process. My agent let me know that Hallmark was going to be opening up the publishing line, which I was really excited about when I heard about. And she thought I would be a good fit for that. And I was like, yes, absolutely, let's go for that. And so we actually submitted several ideas essentially. And the first couple were not quite right. They're very specific in what they're looking for and they want to keep their brand. They want to stay on brand. And so I think this might've been the third one we submitted. I don't actually remember, but I actually submitted it as an idea that wasn't a royal idea. It was the idea of the Christmas wish was the heart of it. But the original concept that I pitched was more of a, more of a small town, a girl gets trapped in an elevator with Santa and then makes a wish and ends up, that she could have the kind of Christmas she used to have when she was a little girl and wakes up back in that small town having that kind of a Christmas. But then they really liked that, but then they decided it was a little too close to some other movies that they'd already, some things that they'd already done. And so the idea was, well, we love the wish thing, but how can we twist that and spin it new? And I was like, we could make it a royal wish, because I was like, let's make it a royal wish. And so I pitched a couple of ideas, but that was the one that I was kind of pushing the hardest.
Yeah.
And they were like, yep, let's go for it. So then I talked to Stacey Donovan, who's the editorial director there, and kind of worked out how to make the royal wish really come alive, and then I just ran with it. So
why don't you tell the audience listening kind of what the book is about, the sort of the basic.
Yeah. So The Royal Christmas Wish is about Jenny, who is kind of trying to find herself a little bit in New York. She's living in New York City and doesn't really know what she wants to be when she grows up, for lack of a better phrase. And she's kind of trying to figure it out, trying to figure out where she's going to be in life. And she runs into someone, quite literally, and who she later learns is a prince. And she has an opportunity to make a wish. And went with later in the story, and she wishes for the fairy tale Cinderella royal Christmas, and the perfect royal Christmas, the Cinderella Christmas. And she doesn't really expect when she makes the wish that it's going to come true, but it does. And she wakes up in this idyllic little European country, married to the prince, and has to figure out what to do from there.
Yeah, that was a fun angle, because it must have been hard to write to keep it Hallmark clean.
It was
to have her married but not really married.
Yeah.
So, what are you going to do?
There were some creative moments where I'm like, well, these two people are married, but and we're going on a couple of weeks now, but we've got to keep them apart. So how are we going to do that? But I think it, it was a fun challenge for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I was thinking that the whole time. I'm like, how is she pulling this off? Oh my gosh. Yeah. And how'd you come up with San Noel as your country?
That was actually, there are two names in the book. There's the queen is named Amelia, and the country is San Noel, and those are my two goddaughters.
Are
Amelia and Jane Noel. And so the spellings are exactly their names, and I wanted to do. I it was just a way of making it kind of personal and special. And the book is dedicated to them, so they're the every little girl can grow up to be a princess kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so I wrote the princess book for my two best friends' daughters. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think I really thought it was clever. I really enjoyed it. It had that little bit of fantasy. It was a little bit fun. And because sometimes with the Family Man style Christmas movies,
mm-hmm.
where the person wakes up and they're in alternate reality. I love that so much.
Yeah.
But it can be a little frustrating, because they're investing all of this time and stuff to everything that's fake.
Yeah.
Fake daughters, fake. And so it can be a little bit hard to get invested sort of in the story, because it's not real.
Yeah.
But I thought that it was enough sort of self-contained in her own journey as opposed to helping fake daughters or whatever kind of a thing like you sometimes see, then I think it worked. I think it worked pretty well. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think because of, it's a little bit different than quite a few of the other Hallmark books, because it's more about Jenny's journey than it is about
romance,
the two people meeting and falling in love. And I think that that sort of had to be how it was, because if we see somebody else's point of view, the whole pretext of the wish kind of falls apart. It has to be, you know, inside her point of view and her experience as she goes through this, and how it changes her, and how she grows and then becomes, well, you know, I don't want to do spoilers, but like how she how she grows and develops as a person and becomes, you know, more confident and
who she is. Yeah, she grows, her confidence grows through the whole experience. Like she's not as insecure as she was at the beginning by the end. So yeah, I agree. I think that was fun. I think you did a good job. So I know that there's those Hallmarkies out there who are like royal. I'm telling you, give this a shot. It's good. It's got good characters. It's a good story. It's fun. So, and then, you know, and then of course there's the people who love the royal movies too. So we got a little bit of everything, but, I, as somebody who went in somewhat skeptical, I really did enjoy it. And, but I think that you should write a romance novel set in Alaska. Did you ever see Men in Trees?
Yes.
It was so good. I loved it so much. And it got screwed by the writer's strike. And we should have gotten way more seasons, but
yeah.
I loved that show so much, and it would be so great. You could have, because there's way more men in Alaska than women.
Yeah, statistics a little bit misleading, but yeah.
I would die if we got a Men in Trees for Hallmark. It would be my favorite thing to ever happen.
Well, I do. It's not actually coming from me, but I will give you a hint that I do believe there is a book set in Alaska that might be coming from Hallmark Publishing next year.
Ooh.
It's not mine though. And but I'm just hearing the, you know, rumors. You hear rumors.
Yeah.
So.
But that would be really, really fun.
Yeah.
What, like, because you don't normally have sort of a situation of a woman who has more suitors than she can handle, kind of an idea, which would be really fun, you know, to see, like, see somebody dating and trying to figure out, you know, all these guys, even if it is not actually Alaska, but that's the story. People are always like, why don't you go to Alaska? Maybe you meet somebody up there. I'm like, I don't know.
I like, there was a great bumper sticker. One of my favorite bumper stickers from a few years ago, which was Alaskan men, the odds are good, but the goods are odd. And I really loved that.
Yeah. It'd be a Hallmark version.
Hallmark version. Yeah.
But I really did love Men in Trees. I was so sad. And then it got canceled. It was so good. But yeah, that's great. Do you have anything new coming out, or?
I do. Not with Hallmark. My next series is actually coming out with Grand Central Forever. And the first book, it's very Hallmarky. The first book is called The 12 Dogs of Christmas.
Perfect.
It comes out this September, the end of September. And it's about a woman who runs a dog shelter who discovers she's going to lose the funding for the shelter before the end of the year and has to find homes for all of the dogs, and about the town councilman who helps her, helps her find the perfect forever homes for all of the dogs in her shelter. And so it's very sweet.
Because you have some holiday series that you do.
I'm kind of addicted to Christmas. Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, this is, this series is going to all be in the small town in Vermont. And it's called Pine Hollow is the name of the series. But the first one is a Christmas book. And then the next one will be actually a fake relationship book. And
yeah. Oh my gosh.
So I got to kind of play with some of my favorite tropes in that one. So
that I know it's a lot of work, but it sounds so fun too.
Oh, yeah.
Your
oh,
job.
I'm not complaining. I love my job.
That is great. Well, you'll have to let us know. You said September?
September 29th of 2020, The 12 Dogs of Christmas. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. And that one I'm excited. It's going to be actually translated into a couple of other languages too. So I was kind of excited about that. The first time I've had that happen. So always fun.
Yeah, that's really great. Well, we have Christmas in July right now going on.
Yay.
Yes, with Hallmark. So hopefully you get to watch a few.
I will. Yes.
Hallmark movies. But we like to end our interviews with some fun questions. And since it's Christmas in July, I'm going to give you the holiday version of questions. So here we go. First question. What is your favorite holiday drink?
I'm a big fan of like any kind of a flavored hot cocoa, like mint hot cocoa. That's probably my favorite. Yeah.
That's delicious. Me for sure. All right. What is your favorite holiday cookie or treat?
Snickerdoodles. I make snickerdoodles with my family every year and I love them.
Mm. What's your favorite Christmas song or carol?
I really love I'll Be Home for Christmas. That one just like tugs at my heart every time. I absolutely love it.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one. What's your favorite classic Christmas movie?
Ooh, oh, wow. Oh, wow.
It's a Wonderful Life for Charlie Brown or
that's
something
hard
like that.
Oh, my gosh. I really love, that's a hard one. Does a Muppet Christmas Carol count as classic?
Sure. Sure. Yeah. It's a good one.
I love that one.
Yeah. And actually has a lot of the book in it.
It really
for
does.
A Muppets movie.
Yeah.
Good choice. Okay. Do you have a favorite holiday tradition that you look forward to every year?
I really love getting the tree and putting it up with my family, like and putting all of our ornaments that we have, like the history of the family from. I think that's probably one of my favorite moments. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a memorable Christmas gift that you either given or received? Like, do you have your Red Ryder BB gun
moment
or something like that?
I think the best, when I was little, I wanted a dog so badly and I got a dog for Christmas.
It was like Lady and the Tramp.
It was pretty close to that. It was pretty close to that. I didn't actually get the dog under the tree. I my parents put a little note inside a box and I had been begging for so long and I was just convinced there was no way that I was going to get a dog this year. And then I open up the box and there's this tiny little note and the note just says, we're going to pick out a dog together. And I burst into tears and screamed and ran and tackled my parents. I was very excited. And then we got my puppy and he was perfection and I got him. He's a golden retriever. It's just the sweetest puppy. Yeah.
So. That is so cute. Love that. So what's your favorite, Scrooge versus the Grinch?
I think Scrooge. I love that story. I'm a total sucker for A Christmas Carol.
All right. Clear lights or colored?
Can I get the ones that like flicker back and forth between the two?
All right, we'll allow it. We'll allow it. Would you rather be in a snowball fight or build a snowman?
Snowball fight, probably. Okay. I've built a lot of snowmen in my life, though. So
I would think so. They're in Alaska.
Yeah, we've done both.
Thing with snowman is it has to have a lot of snow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas you can do a snowball fight with not very much.
There was one Christmas where my brother and I built a snow, and like when we were like 18 and 20, there was one Christmas where we built a snowman that was taller than we were. And like my brother was 6'2". So like, it was a really tall snowman, but that was a great Christmas because we just had so much fresh snow that day and it was just beautiful.
Oh man, that sounds fun. All right. Would you consider yourself a good gift wrapper or not?
Yes. I am pretty addicted to the wrapping and the decorating. I'm very much about the shiny.
Cool. All right. Last question. Do you have an ugly Christmas sweater?
I do not actually.
Oh my gosh.
I was expecting
you to have tons.
I don't.
They're in Alaska.
I have Christmas sweaters, but they don't tend to go as over the top enough as they need to, I think, to really qualify as the ugly Christmas sweater.
You're like, they're not ugly. They're nice.
Yeah.
They're very good looking. What are you talking about?
I have beautiful Christmas sweaters.
Should we ask the other people in your life? They'll be like,
We don't need to confer with them.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, they're funny.
Yeah. Well, very good. You passed the test.
Oh, thank you.
We'll keep letting you write Christmas books because you do such a good job. Well, congratulations on the book. And
thank you.
We'll put a link if people are interested in getting it in the description. And I can take a look at all of your books on Amazon.
Yeah.
And that would be great. And if people want to follow you on social media, all that fun stuff, how can they do that?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. On Twitter and Instagram, I'm Lizzie Shane AK, as in Alaska. And on Facebook, I'm just Lizzie Shane Author. I think I'm actually wondering if I messed that up, but I should remember my own.
We'll have it all in the description. So people make sure to follow yeah. you and make sure you're following the podcast, A Homeworkies Pod, A Homeworkies Podcast, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube. And if you are listening on iTunes, please leave your ratings and reviews. It really helps us out a lot. And if you are watching on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We appreciate that very much. And if you want to follow me, you can follow me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So please take a look at that. I'd appreciate it. And thank you so much, Lizzie. This was really fun. I had a great time talking with you. And let us know your thoughts. And if you get to read the book, we'd love to hear your thoughts in the comments section or on Twitter. And thanks again. And we will have to talk again soon, maybe once the new book comes out. That'd be fun.
That'd be perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Bye, everyone. Merry Christmas.